Born on America's darkest day of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays the mortgage on the family home to lift the financial burden. For severely injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling severely injured heroes to move around their homes more independently. Through the Foundation's Homeless Veteran Program, Tunnel to Towers is providing housing and services to homeless veterans. More than 3,300 were helped last year alone. Because all veterans who honorably served, whether in peacetime or war, deserve our nation's gratitude. People who put their lives on the line for our country and our communities need your help now more than ever. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good and never forget 9/11 or the sacrifices of this country's heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community and of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Hey, it's Wilfred O.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Freedom Hut. This is the Best of Buck Daily Podcast. The top stories of the day from the Buck Sexton Show. For more Buck, head to BuckSexton.com. And remember to subscribe to the podcast.
Well, we're finally there. We are at the point here where it's clear to everybody that the government's plan to protect you from COVID is to just keep piling nonsensical rules atop nonsensical rules to demand that you ignore the hypocrisy that is going on, to demand that you pretend that they've told you things in the past that were correct and true. Now it's what? They're going to fiddle with the numbers a little bit. You've got cases rising across the country. What's really the plan here? I think finally, Americans are starting to see and they're starting to understand that this is not going to get better until we tell the government enough is enough. This isn't just going to go away. They're not going to give back your freedom. They're not going to allow you to live your life again. You may say, oh, Buck, but what about the vaccine? And to that, I would tell you, well, the vaccine isn't going to be the end of this for the government because the vaccine's not 100% effective. They're going to continue this on deep into 2021. You're hearing from Democrat politicians increasingly that even if it's 90% effective and even if 70 or 80% of the population gets it, even at that point, you're not 100% safe from the Rona. You could still get COVID-19, so you don't get to have your life back. You don't get to have back your freedom. And so then that raises some very interesting questions, doesn't it? When do we say mass compliance is our non-compliance is our only answer? When do we say we just simply refuse? Right? We have been complying for months and months, and now here we are seeing the sum total of what the lockdowners, the mask shamers, what have they pulled together for a program here as we're about to enter these winter months across the nation? What are they saying that they want to do to protect us? Right? What are the claims that they are making that will somehow make you safe? They don't have anything. They don't know. Other than what they've been doing, which hasn't been working. Or this is one of the great lies of the Biden campaign, that if only we listened to the scientists, everything would be so much better. The scientists that they're talking about have no idea how to make all of this better. All they do is keep repeating themselves. It's not changing anything. There is no perfect mass compliance. There is no perfect social distancing. The virus still continues to spread. in California. Let's go through some of the examples here. In California over the weekend, they decided that they're locking down outdoor dining now for 3 weeks. So it was that you couldn't eat indoors. And there is a scientific basis, at least, for saying indoor transmission of a virus. Indoor transmission is a bigger risk. There's no evidence to suggest that outdoor transmission is a considerable enough risk to mandate the kinds of or to necessitate the kinds of mandates that we've had. And yet they're doing it anyway. Why are they doing this? Because more restrictions on your life, more separation of you from the rest of your fellow human beings, including with prohibitions on Thanksgiving gatherings, that is the only answer they have. There's nothing else. Wash your hands, social distance, wear a mask. We've been doing that. It's not working. Mask compliance is higher than it's ever been. We've been social distancing for months. And yet the cases, now, they never said that it would go to zero, but the cases are spiking, folks. The numbers are jumping across the country. So why is that happening? We're entering the winter season. There's a seasonality to these viruses. Isn't it fascinating that also we're led to believe that this virus, COVID-19, is somehow the one respiratory virus for which asymptomatic transmission is the main method of spread? This is what we're told now. It's the or at least half of cases are from asymptomatic spread. They're just estimating that. And they're also ignoring the journal Nature published a Chinese study of thousands and thousands of people in Wuhan that found 300 individuals with asymptomatic cases. They tested over 1,100 of their close contacts. Not a single one of them had COVID-19. So 300 people, they test and traced everybody who lived with them and was around them. No transmission. But you won't hear about that. In fact, if I try to tell you about that on Facebook or Twitter, I'll get dinged. I'll get banned. I'll get throttled, whatever. It's just the truth. I'm just telling you things that are true. But now you're seeing that there is a totalitarian impulse at work here. Now you're understanding, I think. I think the American people, if they weren't already seeing it, as I know a lot of you were, are understanding this is about so much more than just a virus. This is about our relationship with the government. This is about the ways that the state can control people and can transform society in the process. You don't think there are a lot of people that view that as an opportunity? You don't think there are a lot of people that view this as a chance to enact their policy whims? And also to create a perception among the American people that if they listen and do what they're told, they'll be safe and everything will be better. And the demagogues out there use the frightened mob to coerce and threaten and shame free thinkers into compliance. That's where we are. That's what's happened. Right. Now, remember, this is about government action and government mandates. Whatever you think you need to do to protect yourself, whether that's staying home, triple masking, wearing goggles, that's your call. You have plenty of information. There's so much knowledge and data out there right now about different ways you can try to mitigate the spread. Will that all work at the end of the day? Maybe, maybe not. But do what you can for yourself that you think, whatever you think is necessary. But that's not what's happening here. In the state of Oregon, the governor there, Kate Brown, is telling people that they should call the police on Thanksgiving gatherings that exceed whatever the allowable number of people is today. And remember, the number keeps changing. Is there any science to determine what that number is? No. They're just saying, yeah, we think this is the right number. Is there any science to determine that outdoor dining in California should be banned for 3 weeks? Can't sit outside and eat a meal. So you can't go to a takeout place and sit at their benches out front. No, that's too dangerous. Too dangerous for getting the Rona. This is what they're saying. And yet we know that the governors who push this stuff the most violate their own orders and they don't care. We know that this continues to play out in the press where they've created a perception that Donald Trump is somehow responsible for all this. It's all Trump's fault, you see. And Trump supporters, they weren't wearing masks enough. Well, somehow here we are. Greater mask compliance than ever before. 80 to 90% nationwide for indoors and for most of the situations where we'd be required to wear them. And yet, does it really seem to be slowing down the caseload anywhere? Now, there's cases, there's positive tests, and then there's hospitalizations and deaths. These things all get commingled. And that's also not helpful to this conversation, to this discussion. But ultimately, we need to start boiling this down to very simple, very straightforward truths. Ultimately, this should be about things like, we are Americans. We want to celebrate Thanksgiving and be with our families. It could happen that you will get COVID-19 if you do that. That is, it also could happen that you will get COVID-19 for walking into the elevator in your building or going to the grocery store. It could. And if that's not the case, then why are we wearing masks when we do those things? Obviously, it could happen. Living your life means you are at risk of getting this disease. The good news is that the chances of you surviving, in fact, the chances of you not even knowing you have it, are very high. And the chances of you surviving if you're not a senior citizen with comorbidities is so good that you should have very little concern about this. You really should have no concern at all. But we have to start thinking about this in terms of freedom, freedom versus tyranny. Do you want the government to be able to tell you that your business has to be shut down because they say so? That's what they're doing. They don't point. There's no data. There's no answer to why they're doing this or even where they get the power. They've flipped quarantine, which has been for sick people, the sick, and made it a quarantine of all of society. We call that lockdown. We accept this? I'm happy to see that in some states and places like New York City, even there are people finally gathering to say no more, no more, because they realize that if we go into a long winter and we allow these petty tyrants, if we allow these idiot bureaucrats to just make decisions and tweak things all along the way, you know, to come up with whatever their policy feels like it should be today, they're going to destroy whole industries. They're going to dramatically increase depression and suicide and alcohol and drug abuse all throughout the winter for millions and millions and millions of people. And they don't really take all this stuff as seriously as they pretend to. We know they're hypocrites, whether it's Cuomo in New York or Newsom or Whitmer or Lori Lightfoot. Go down the list. Huge advocates for this. Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein. They break their own rules as soon as they think nobody's looking. Oh, but they're all so worried about this. Look at all of the members of Congress. Look at all these people who, in the case of Congress, you got a lot of people that are not just senior citizens. They're deep into their seniors. Nancy Pelosi's almost 80. Do you think they're living in fear? No, but they want you to live in fear. And they want to give government authorities the ability to make sure that even if you think that it's crazy, you still have to do this stuff. Deal with it. Bend the knee. We can either say no, or we can allow the tyranny to continue. Those are the options. Mass noncompliance, pushback from people in cities and states across the country to say this is unacceptable. Law enforcement officers, and you're seeing more of this, who point out that they will not be a tool for this oppression. They're not going to do it. If people want to gather on Thanksgiving, this is still America. They're allowed to. We do not live, every aspect of our lives is not at the whim of government bureaucrats and elected officials. That's not what we signed up for, and that's not what our Constitution allows for. So have we finally understood here as a country? Are we finally waking up to this? There are leftists, there are libs who like this. I understand that. They're never going to change. They think they're in some great struggle by mask shaming the occasional person going for a jog outside by himself. They think they're saving millions of lives because they're morons. And they also believe that the planet is going to end unless we control CO2 emissions from 20% of the world's population. It's not going to happen, right? But they still believe these things. You are seeing this is increasingly like a religious cult. There is a COVID lockdown cult that has grown all across the country. People don't want to be wrong, so they won't admit they were wrong. And people also like to be told what to do. They like a government that's in charge of everything. It absolves them of responsibility for their own screw-ups, and it makes them feel like they're safe and fed and warm and everything's going to be fine. But that's not the truth. The government is doing a lot of damage with all of these mandates. The government is hurting people in the name of helping them. And it's not going to stop until we, the people, say, you're not allowed to do this anymore.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Freedom Hut. This is the Best of Buck daily podcast. The top stories of the day from the Buck Sexton Show. For more Buck, head to BuckSexton.com and remember to subscribe to the podcast.
What do I mean by pushing back? What does it sound like? What does it look like? Well, over the weekend, video was circulating from a business in Buffalo, New York, where a health inspector showed up at a private business operating on an anonymous tip about too many people inside without a mask on. And I got to tell you, I was so proud. Yes, proud to be an American because of what the business owners said. They stood their ground and the little health department bureaucrat realized, uh-oh, we got a problem here. Play it.
Well, I think we got to go, John.
You have to leave. You guys have to leave. You have to leave.
Right now you're trespassing without a warrant. You
need mass civil disobedience starts now.
You're trespassing.
You're not trespassing.
You're trespassing.
It doesn't matter. We have a right to be here.
Then get a warrant. Dude. Go get a warrant.
Bring a warrant.
Go get a warrant.
Yes, you do.
Come back with a warrant or leave.
You don't write the law.
So you can walk on any property with no warrant?
Go get a warrant. You guys are breaking the law right now. You're breaking the law. Go outside. No, go on your phone outside. Go on your phone outside.
I would really like it if you
Where did you hear the report?
I haven't done
anything. Okay, we would like it if you break the law. We would like it if you break the law.
Who reported it? Who reported it? Who reported it?
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's anonymous, right? It's anonymous. It can't be anonymous. You need to know your accuser. You need to know it cannot be anonymous.
Okay, wait, you got to go get a warrant.
It cannot be anonymous.
You got to go get a warrant.
You don't get to violate the policies. You don't get to violate the Constitution. It does not matter. You don't circumvent or subvert the Constitution.
Someone call the news.
You don't get to subvert the Constitution. Go get a warrant. You see, the health department inspectors are used to just being able to show up and, you know, do whatever they want, I guess. They had sheriffs or sheriff's deputies with them. But the business owner said, no, you're not allowed. We don't want you here. Not allowed here. Acting on an anonymous tip. Think about that. Just play this one out in your head. Any business that I don't like, if they ever gave me cold pizza at a place down the street, I can call in the health department and say, yeah, I saw too many people not social distancing inside. And then law enforcement's going to show up and they can go through the whole place and inspect the whole premises based on that. Not on, hey, they're selling drugs or no. I saw a lack of social distancing. I saw somebody without a mask on. What law is this based on? And, you know, at some point you also get to the law of sanity. I don't care what these bureaucrats say. I don't care what the governor says about some BS executive order. We do not live in a totalitarian society where you can tell people how they can breathe, which is what they're doing. We do not live in a society where you can tell people they cannot see their loved ones on a holiday or any day for that matter. This is a time in our country when we need to start embracing at least the mentality, if not the form, of four-letter words expressed loudly and in unison toward government authorities who are trying this crap. I guess technically that's a four-letter word. Enough is enough. You can either agree with that and start to take actions on that, or you can think that this is still all about Trump somehow. Really? There are lockdown protests going on in European countries. There was a lockdown protest here in New York City over the weekend. Thank God. Need a lot more of that. And it's about Trump still? Trump right now is focused on continuing to be president and fighting this legal battle in the courts for an election that's not over. These state and local COVID lockdowns are not about Republican or Democrat. It's about whether or not we live in a free society. It's about whether or not we're in a circumstance where we still get to determine our fates and our future. I'm still appalled, honestly, that we've gotten to this point with so many people. They've just the media, mass media, social media. We live in a time of mass hysteria and mass media, and the results are terrible because everyone's so frightened all the time now because of what they're seeing on their phones and the news headlines and the stories. They don't stop to think, what am I gaining by listening to these people? Have they earned my trust? Have they earned the right to dictate every aspect of my life to me because they say they'll keep me safe? They're not going to keep you safe. It's all a lie.
You're in the Freedom Hut. This is the Best of Buck Daily Podcast. The top stories of the day from the Buck Sexton Show.
Am I exaggerating the desires of Democrats here? Am I pretending like they want things that they don't or that they're holding positions that they really don't? Well, let's listen to one of the most powerful Democrats in the country right now explain what the new standard is for you getting your life back, getting any aspect of your life back right now during this time of the COVID pandemic. Here's Nancy Pelosi, play 16.
We should be having the resources to make sure that the vaccine is distributed immediately, equitably, so that everyone has access to it. In that regard, though, for that to happen, the president must implement the Defense Production Act so that those companies, those entities that are used to this new technology that both Pfizer and Moderna have used can undertake making this vaccine more available, because we're going to need quite a bit for ourselves and for the world, because unless everyone is safe, as I said, no one is safe.
Unless everyone is safe, no one is.
Do you hear that? Unless everyone is safe, no one is safe. what is that? Everyone is never going to be safe. Everyone is never going to be safe from this virus. They're never going to be safe in terms of overall health risks. And the government is in no position to destroy or eliminate those risks entirely. Right? The COVID-19 vaccine is not 100% perfect. Not 100% of people will get it. And there could be mutations of COVID in the future. So what I'm trying to tell you, which is the truth here, is that either we understand that there is allowable, acceptable risk in society that freedom necessitates, or we're living in some COVID health totalitarianism. That's it. And I think everybody intuitively understands that. They know that. But we've forgotten it during this period. We've reached this other place where we think, oh, well, I guess we'll wait until they tell us it's safe. That's never going to happen, really. Jim Jordan, one of my favorite members of Congress, I can say it. Jim Jordan is out there making the case. He's saying this is just, my friends, this is wrong. What's going on right now with these anti-Thanksgiving travel, not just the prohibitions on the gatherings, but the CDC saying don't go anywhere, don't travel, don't live your life. Who do they think they are? I mean, really, I want to say, who the bleep do they think they are? What is going on? This is the biggest challenge we face right now from a policy perspective. I know we still have this legal fight going on over the election, and I'm happy to see that the team is still digging in and going to get to the truth. We absolutely need answers. We need to use this process to the fullest possible extent to make sure that only legal and every legal ballot is counted. But in the meantime, we still got a big problem as a nation that's not going to get better anytime soon. This doesn't have a 3-week expiration or a 2-month expiration. This is going to go on deep into 2021. And that's why I'm happy that Jim Jordan at least is out there saying this is crazy. Play eight.
It's ridiculous. In Ohio, you now have to be in your home by 10 o'clock. In Pennsylvania, when you're in your home, you have to wear a mask. And in Vermont, when you're in your home, you don't have to wear a mask because you're not allowed to have friends over to your home. I mean, this has gotten so ridiculous. And we forget this is America. I mean, I go back to when the first lockdown happened, the Attorney General of the United States sent out a memo to all U.S. attorneys. This is back in April of this year. Sent out a memo to all U.S. attorneys. A lot of important things he discussed in there. But near the end of the memo, he had a great line. He said, the Constitution is not suspended during a crisis. And amen to that. And we need to remember that. In fact, I would argue the Constitution is most important when you're dealing with something unique, something big like this. So this is as wrong as it gets.
Yeah.
It's as wrong as it gets. And I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. I wish that Trump would use the megaphone a bit more on this issue. I know he's focused in on the election, but this really matters. They used COVID panic to change the whole election system. They used the fear that the public had around COVID, the irrational level of fear, to make these very changes so that they could try all the shenanigans, so they could try the steal in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia. It was all based in COVID. I've been trying to tell people all along, stop with the Hunter Biden, start focusing on COVID and this need that we have to reestablish freedoms as Americans and to deal with this insanity that's going on. Oh, no, we're going to just wait for the Durham probe. That's going to save us all. The Durham probe any minute now is going to sweep in there like the cavalry at the end of an old Western. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But they got away with it. They got away with misrepresenting this and creating a narrative that was used against Trump. I mean, here's Joe Scarborough just straight up saying Trump is responsible for all the people who have died of this. Play seven.
I don't know if it matters to the Republicans at all, but that the backdrop to this is very bad short-term news on the coronavirus and the numbers surging all over the place and the president tweeting all weekend long about himself and about the election he wants to steal. That's who they're aligning with.
They don't care about all the people dying.
So there was break.
They really, because if they did,
they would let Joe Biden start working his transition so they could start getting the vaccines ready and they could make up a plan to distribute vaccines from across the country to 300 million people to get the economy started again.
Mm-hmm.
To get the economy started again, but they don't care. This is all about Donald Trump. People calling into Rush Limbaugh saying they're ready to die for Donald Trump. Really? Is this Jonestown?
Well, people are dying.
Really? Yeah. You don't have to say you're willing to die for Donald Trump because hundreds of thousands of people already have died because of Donald Trump, and it's only going to get worse.
I mean, the TV executives who put this moron, Scarborough and his wife after he left his other family and she left her family because they're working together and, you know, that put him on air so he can say things like the president's responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. How is it possible to be such an idiot? I mean, to really have such either low intellectual capacity or to be of such low character that you'll say things that are so obviously not true, not fair, inaccurate. How many deaths would there have been if Joe Biden were the president during this? Let's just deal with this for a second. How many deaths would there be if Joe Biden were in charge? Can they give us an estimate? I would have worn a mask. I would have hid, no joke, in the basement with my mask on, wearing a mask. Here you go. Here's the guy that would have been the great savior. He would have saved 250,000 lives if only he had been in charge the last 11 months or so. Here's Joe Biden. Play clip one.
They talked about that in some detail. Thirdly, we discussed the need to help states with Title 32 funding for the National Guard. That's a fancy way of saying governors need to be able to get funding when they need to bring their National Guard into play. And National Guards are going to have to play this. It costs a lot of money.
It's another fancy way. The government is a thing with a... Oh, yeah, he's a genius. He would have had a great leadership. Would have listened to the science. He would have had to listen to the science, I suppose, in the beginning when Fauci was saying, don't wear a mask, which we all know he said. I'll probably get censored for that. I'm getting dinged on Facebook for telling you things that are factually accurate now. But they have fact checkers say that it lacks context. That's the new game. Lacks context is a way of saying, I don't like these facts you're presenting, and I have other facts that I like better. So I'm going to say this lacks context and therefore is misleading. This is the little totalitarian censorship game that the biggest and most powerful companies in the world right now are playing on behalf of the collectivists, on behalf of the left. That's what's going on. That's right, though. Put Joe Biden in charge. All of our problems would just melt away. I mean, Scarborough here saying that we don't care about people dying. No, we very much care about people dying, but they're the ones who are claiming that everything will be better if we just do what they say. We've been doing what they say. That's what has been happening. We've been listening to them. We've been listening to the science. All the data supports this. All the evidence we have supports this. And they just don't want to, they don't want to ever face the reality that they've been spewing lies this whole time. All we have to do is the following and the virus will go away and it's on us. And we're going to save ourselves if we just do the right thing. What are they toddlers? Are they repeating some song they were taught at a day camp for 10-year-olds? Well, who could believe this stuff? All we have to do is wash our hands and wear a cotton mask and everything's going to be fine. They said Trump's responsible for 250,000 deaths. That's what Scarborough and his wife are saying. So what exactly am I missing here? He's responsible for all the deaths. So clearly all we would have zero deaths, unlike Europe and all these other countries, zero deaths from this. If only we'd listened to Fauci. This is idiocy. This is intellectually indefensible, but their hatred of Trump clouds everything else. This isn't even about Trump for me. That's why I'm so dug in on this issue. It's not about Trump. It's about the country. And it's about whether or not people believe that we are a free people or not. They have taken away our freedoms. They have violated the Constitution. You either have a problem with that or you don't.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Buck Daily Podcast. For more Buck, head to BuckSexton.com and remember to subscribe to the podcast.
But we do have some realities that are stark. Number one, the weather is colder. We're living a lot more of our lives indoors. There's real pandemic fatigue and a lot of transmission behind private doors. So we have surgically gone after cutting indoor dining at 10 p.m., lowering indoor gathering limits to 10 people. We've amped up enforcement, but there is only so much you can do. So we're pleading with people, keep Thanksgiving really small, immediate family, don't travel, and don't let your guard down just because you're at home.
Yeah, we just heard that police chief say he's not going to enforce these new rules. Anything you can do about that?
Listen, I heard him say, I don't want to ruin anyone's Thanksgiving. And that gentleman, I believe, is an outlier. What would really ruin your Thanksgiving if somebody gets sick and God forbid, dies. So we got to do everything we can. But there's a huge amount of burden here on personal responsibility and doing the right thing.
It's the governor of New Jersey. Just falls back on the same thing every time. Do what we say or you'll die. Meanwhile, doing what they say doesn't prevent the spread of the virus. I did indoor dining over the weekend in New York City. Let me explain to you a little bit of what that's like with my brother, who has moved to Texas and loves it, by the way. So there's that. He's in Austin. So KLBJ fam, you've got a Sexton in your midst now. He absolutely loves it there. But he was in visiting for the holidays, and we went out to dinner. We had a bro dinner, and we arrive at the restaurant, and we have to wait outside. So we're waiting. So there's about 20 people that were all waiting for tables at this restaurant. We're all waited up, but we're really kind of waiting in this confined area. We all have our masks on, but it is outdoors. This is after they take our temperature. Now, just as a reminder, you often can have COVID and not run a temperature, but they take your temperature. Okay, so they say that's a little precaution. But we're all standing outdoors without masks on. And then we all go inside and sit. I'm sorry, with masks on. And then we all go inside and take our masks off and sit in an enclosed room together. What are we doing? Who wants to? And these are the rules. We're doing this, you know, and we don't touch menus. Oh, because if we touch menus, that's how we're all going to get sick. so we have to do this little virtual menu thing. Well, are these restrictions good enough that it's safe or not? Because if they're good enough, why are we going to shut down indoor dining? You know, you could see, you could have endless iterations of this. Do a little more, a little more restriction, a little bit more the government telling you what's acceptable. You can't go out and go to the grocery store twice a week. You got to go once a week. Maybe once every other week. Do you want to die? Do what we say, you're going to die. This is what they're telling you. I mean, I'm not making this up. I'm playing the clips for you. You can hear government officials saying this. Do what we say, you're going to die. Meanwhile, we're doing what they say, and the virus is spreading all over the place. And a vast majority of people who get this, that doesn't even begin to cover it. Less than 1% of people who get this actually die from it. So they act like if you get this, it's a death sentence, and that's crazy. But that's the way to get to keep people in fear. That's the way to have people who are willing to obey this stuff. They want to send people in to arrest you for having folks in your home over a holiday. That's the plan, right? And Pelosi said it very well. Nobody is safe until everybody is safe. The government will let you know when there's 100% safety from this virus. Until then, you do what the government says or you're killing people. This is the standard they've set up. You see it. You see it happening all over the place. The only reason they don't tell us all you cannot leave your homes on pain of arrest is that then finally, I think people would say, hold on a second. That's too far. You're going, that's not an acceptable level of lockdown, but we should be at that mentality. We should have been at that a long time ago. Governor Abbott of Texas, who's been okay on COVID, not great. But at least he understands that what the governor of Oregon is saying, that you should call the police on your neighbors for gathering for Thanksgiving. Think about how toxic this is going to be, because people will do it. There are lunatics out there who will do this. They'll say, oh, gosh, you're putting me at risk. My mask protects me. Your mask protects you. You know, nonsense like that. Play 18.
Governor, before you go, the governor of Oregon, a woman by the name of Kate Brown, says, hey, if you see anybody breaking any of our state suggestions and guidelines, call the cops. Is that the way they should handle that? Call the cops if you see somebody walking around with no mask?
I got to tell you, I think they may have some Fourth Amendment-based challenges there, but also I have to point out the irony. If I understand correctly, Oregon just legalized heroin and maybe cocaine.
Yes.
And so it's okay to have heroin and cocaine, but not turkey for Thanksgiving. That is un-American. It just does not make sense.
The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable search and seizure shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause. Gathering with your family on Thanksgiving is not probable cause of the commission of any crime. This is unconstitutional. They do not have the right to do this. Don't let them continue to threaten you and to create all this fear so that you forget that what they're doing is wrong. These are government powers that are undermining the very basis for government's authority, which comes from the Constitution. That's what's happening right now all across America.
This is the Best of Buck Daily Podcast. The top stories of the day from the Buck Sexton Show. For more Buck, head to BuckSexton.com and remember to subscribe to the podcast.
Never trust a lib or any politician for that matter, but never trust them when they tell you that whatever they're doing it for the children. Right? This is what we'll always hear. Oh, I'm doing it for the children. Really? Where's the best example of that you can see in our society, in our political debates? Where is it always about the kids, but it's actually not about the kids at all? Some of you are probably already thinking what the answer is, and you're getting it right. Teachers unions. Ah, yes. Public sector unions that are the beating heart of the donations and political mobilization and machinery of the Democrat Party. Teachers unions. Which are all about very low show jobs for adults and not about making things better for kids. Why am I bringing this up? Well, here is a social worker talking about how in Hillsborough County, they're missing, in that school district, 7,000, this is in Florida, in a large school district, they're missing 7,000 students unaccounted for. Play clip two.
What do you hear from teachers? Are they saying to you, we're missing kids, he should have been in my class, where is he, he's not showing up? Do you hear that?
Well, in here in Hillsborough County, we're missing 7,000 students.
7,000 kids didn't come back?
7,000.
How does that 7,000 number compare to previous years?
We've never had that happen.
To have that many kids with a question mark next to their name, where do you begin?
Well, every student attended some school last year, all 7,000 of them. So we start there. You know, what about their emergency contacts? You know, maybe grandma or grandpa is on the emergency card and grandma and grandpa can tell you where they are. You know, we find kids because another one went to a birthday party and they saw them. And so, yeah, they're still in Tampa. Okay. You know, we're energized to keep looking for that student.
This is disastrous for kids. These school lockdowns or school shutdowns and this remote learning thing is, it doesn't work. It does not work. And especially for low-income kids, kids who need additional assistance, need more personal attention from teachers, this is pushing them so far behind at critical stages in their development. And we've already seen there is no argument here. There's no debate over whether kids are safe from COVID in schools. The answer is yes. Anyone who tells you otherwise is lying or an idiot. They're at no risk. And so, I say that, and yes, I mean, you're not at risk really of being struck by lightning when you walk out your house, but I mean, technically you are. It's like that for kids. If you're under 19, COVID is like lightning strike risk, okay? Are you never going to leave your house? Now, why are these school districts all shut down? Why is it that I can walk to a grocery store and see the same clerks, the same employees that I've seen for the entire outbreak? Here in the entire pandemic here in New York, but teachers can't show up to school. Too dangerous. Right? So many other people. I'm going into an office to do a TV show every day. People are showing up to offices, being around other people. It's happening, but teachers can't do it. Why? Well, because the teachers unions. Because the teachers unions want to flex their muscle here. They want to make sure that their employees have the option to sit at home and basically play, you know, YouTube videos for the kids, not really do anything. It's a great deal. Get to stay at home. You know, you sit there in front of a screen for a little bit and then you don't have to do anything. I think it's fantastic for them. It's not about the kids, though. It's not about them. And I think you are seeing a surge of a bipartisan recognition here that kids suffer because of these teachers' unions, that children suffer because of what's going on here. And that's at least a recognition that should have been a long time in coming. And I wish everybody would really understand that this is just horrific what's going on here. It's wrong. It's selfish. And it's a lesson in why public sector unions are a terrible thing. They should not exist. In fact, that the origins of the union movements in this country, even I think it was FDR himself said that public sector unions, I mean, that's a terrible idea. Now you're going to have people that are supposed to be serving the public who are also forming unions to make sure that they can get paid more and do less at the public's expense all the time. And all you need is one political party, in this case, the Democrats, to feed at that trough. And it never goes away. It never goes away. So the teachers unions are shameful. That's not new. And also our political class is utterly shameful. Back to Pelosi. Remember, she's been holding out here. She's been holding out for now going on months. Will not pass a COVID relief bill. Will not get people additional funds. Will not get people the help that they need because she has in her head that there are demands that need to be met for other things. And the GOP won't do it. So she's just holding the American people hostage. And then she turns around when she's not diving into her $25,000 refrigerator to eat some $12 a pint ice cream that's delivered to her house by workers who are, of course, at risk for COVID. I mean, she's not. She gets to just, you know, Queen Nancy gets to sit there and have everything brought to her.
But here she is telling you that the GOP is the reason people are suffering. Play 17.
Sadly, our traditional, some of the things that we do regularly, but especially at Thanksgiving, to minister to those who are food insecure and the rest, will not actually be possible. But nonetheless, we must try. We are in a full-blown economic and health catastrophe, and it's amazing to see the patience the GOP has for other people's suffering.
She's the one with the patience for suffering. She's the cause of additional suffering now because she's not getting what she wants. You know, there was a 12-mile-long food line in Atlanta. Tyler Perry gave out 5,000 meals. There was a 12-mile-long of cars, people waiting, and it ran out in 2 hours. That's what's happening in the country. While Democrats are out there lecturing people about how they're not wearing masks, people can't put food on the table. They have no money. And the response we get is somehow this is all Trump's fault, right? That's the easiest thing for them to switch to, which is what they do. And they'll just continue on with this. They'll continue on. Queen Pelosi doesn't care about the suffering. She's a Chardonnay socialist. It's all going to be fine for her either way. Do you think she looks worried? She's almost 80 years old. Do you think she's worried at all about COVID? Nah, she'll be all right. Trump had it better in 3 days. He's 73. What are we really waiting for here? What are we doing as a society? Well, some people view this crisis, as she rightly points out, it is a crisis. It's partially a health crisis. It's partially a government crisis because of what they're doing. But they view it all as an opportunity, and they're trying to leverage it and use it to those ends and for those purposes. And we've let them get away with it far too much already. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to improving the lives of America's veterans, first responders, and their families. For over 20 years, the foundation has helped America keep its solemn promise to never forget. Tunnel to Towers provides mortgage-free homes to Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders with young children, and builds specially adapted smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, as well as work to eradicate veteran homelessness. David Marshall served in the Army during World War II and fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He's never forgotten the sacrifices of his comrades in arms, nor the efforts of first responders on 9/11 and in the days and months that followed. He is a loyal and proud foundation donor. Tunnel to Towers is committed to supporting veterans, first responders, and their families, and so many of them need your help. Join the foundation on its mission to do good and never forget. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.